a new sermon series, but before I get into the sermon, I wanted to just give a warm welcome to those that are watching around the nation and around the world, along with you and us here. You know, we're one big fellowship and community, but it goes beyond these walls, and it's just such a blessing to be with you guys. We're starting a new sermon series today, and it's called I Choose. And the foundation of this sermon series, each week of the next 4 weeks, we're going to focus on a specific choice. Because maybe you've heard that we are the sum total of the choices that we've made in our past. Every single choice that we've made in our past has led to the moment of where we are today. Now, if that be true, then the choices that we make today and that we make tomorrow form the sum total of where we're going to be and what we're going to do and who we're going to be in the coming months and coming years. Would that be the truth? So in other words, if we can influence the choices we make today, we can influence who we are tomorrow. That is the goal of this sermon series, I Choose. It's the belief that we can make choices today to influence our lives for a godly future, because our choices matter. I mean, our choices matter. If I eat something significant after 9 p.m. at night, it will affect me come 4 o'clock in the morning. There is an influence there. My choices will either positively or negatively influence me. How many of you have a deadline at night? If you know if you eat past that, your stomach is going to be paying for it come early in the morning. Am I the only one that kind of deals with that? Okay, this is as I get older, I guess. But we all have those things in our life where we know we've made good choices or we've made bad choices, and we experience the repercussions of that. So today I want to talk to you about a choice, and I want to start with a couple of questions. Today, how good would it feel if everybody liked you? How good would it feel if everybody believed in you? No matter what you've done, or no matter what you said, or no matter what you did to people, you know, everyone, that they would just like you. They would think you're awesome. They would think you're just so cool. How would it feel to be liked by everybody? How would it feel to be liked by everybody? I'm here to squash your dream. It will never happen. You can just cross that one off. It is never going to happen. You will never be liked by everybody. You will never be able to please everyone. It is impossible. But is it possible that we could be so consumed with pleasing Jesus that we would not need the approval of pleasing people? Can we be so filled with the Spirit of God that we wake up daily with the passion and purpose to serve God and to know our purpose, to know what we were created to do, and that would drive our day to not be worried about the number of likes we get on Facebook or the number of retweets we get on Twitter, that we wouldn't worry about the approval of people. I'm here to share with you today that there is power that will set you free when you no longer live for people, but you learn to live for God. So today we're going to make a choice. We're going to make a simple choice. We're going to choose purpose over popularity, if you're taking notes. We're going to choose purpose over popularity. Now, you can do that by the notes in your bulletin. You can write those down. You can go to your smartphone, go to the YouVersion Bible app, and upload the sermon notes right there. But you can choose purpose over possibility. And this is a huge issue because it is our human nature to seek validation for my fellow human beings. Amen? It is our human nature. It is our struggle that we want to validate who we are, what we stand for, whether people like us or not, and to get our purpose from other people. The problem is you don't know a purpose of a thing. If you don't know a purpose of the thing, you're going to misuse that thing. And if you don't understand why you were created and who you are, then you're going to misuse your life. You're going to experiment with your life, and you're going to misuse it. It's important to know the purpose of a thing, because if you don't know the purpose of the thing, you will misuse that thing. Take, for example, probably about 6 or 7 years ago, we were camping at East Harbor State Park, which is up near Sandusky, Ohio, on beautiful Lake Erie. It's a beautiful campground, and we had the campsite all set up, and we get the carpeting out, we roll the awning out, and then we always put a white trash bag outside, and I attach it to the handle, and that's where we put our trash when we're standing outside the camper and just hanging around the campsite. And I'm the one responsible for taking it off of there, tying it up, and walking it to the dumpster. Most state park campgrounds, or most campgrounds in general, there's a centralized dumpster, and you walk your trash to the dumpster, which is actually one of my favorite things to do. How weird is that? But I just like to take a stroll with the trash bag at night when the day is done, and just walk over to the dumpster and, you know, chuck it in. Now I don't just place it in there. I got to kind of get a thing going like this and see how far away I can be before I get it in there. Make sure nobody's watching, because I'm a 44-year-old child at that moment, and I'm going, like, soon to be 45, throwing it in the dumpster. And on this particular case, I'll invite the kids to come with me. Hey, let's go throw out the trash together. And my kids surprisingly are like, Dad, that's just dumb. Go do that. Like, hey, let's go empty the sewer together. Dad, no. It's amazing the pleasures we get, the simple pleasures when you're relaxing and you're on vacation. But in this case, I walked out of the camper. I was getting the white plastic trash bag, and there was this big black trash bag sitting on the floor there, and I could tell that it was full of something, and I just tied it up and figured it was going out with the trash, and so I took it with me, and I went to the lineup of dumpsters. There must have been 7 blue dumpsters all along the row there, just down the street from our campsite, and I got back, and I slung the white one in there, and I got back, and the black one was kind of heavy and kind of junk, full of jumbly stuff in there, and I chucked that in there and thought, see you later, you know, kind of out of your mind, out of sight, and going back until the next day. And the next day, Isabel wanted to know where her shoes were. And then I couldn't find my flip-flops. Erin couldn't find her shoes. My parents who were with us, they didn't know where their shoes were. Austin and Tana, Isabel, Elizabeth, all of them, everybody's shoes were missing. And Erin said, what happened to that black bag that was sitting on the ground there? I said, well, I put that out with the trash. She said, well, that had all our shoes in it. Now, everything just kind of raced through my mind. I'm thinking, okay, where do I find size 14 shoes while I'm camping at East Harbor State Park? How do we afford to buy everybody a new set of shoes? Because in some cases, we'd bring one pair, and then you'd bring a second as a backup. Well, they were all in that bag as we were unpacking, and it sat on their cupboard. I said, I threw them away. And explain that to your spouse. Where are our shoes? Well, I threw them away. I threw everybody's shoes away. Well, where are they? They're out there in one of those dumpsters. And she says, well, you know what you need to do. And I looked at my dad, and I said, Dad, hopefully the trash guy didn't come yet. So we, the next day, go out to the dumpster. The only problem is there's 7 dumpsters, and they're all blue. I can't remember which one I was. I had no idea where that thing landed. I just heard a thunk, and it went into one of them. I had no idea where it was and what had happened to it. And so in that moment, we started digging and looking. And would you just know this, that every campsite has a black trash bag? I mean, what is up with that? They're all the same. They all look black. It was crazy. We found them. Praise be to God. They were underneath 4 or 5 bags in the dumpster, and we found them. And it was like we were just celebrating. What a miracle. And it was just all about shoes. It's crazy. But in that moment, you realize if you don't know the purpose of a thing, you will misuse that thing. Everybody, trash bags are for trash. Trash bags are for trash. You will misuse it. And the problem is many of us don't know the purpose of our lives, so we go to other human beings to help us with the purpose of our lives. And we say things like, do you like me? Do you like my clothing? Do you like what I wear? Do you like my hair? Do you like my shoes? Look at the sunglasses. Do you care for what I do? Do you like my job? Hey, look at the house that I live in. Look at my family. You know, look at all my posts on Facebook. Do you like my posts? Am I important to you? Do you follow me on Twitter? Are we buddies? Do I measure up to you? And we're just all this time trying to find our meaning and purpose in other people. But you don't find your meaning and purpose from other people. You find your meaning and purpose from your Creator. And so it is up to going to your Creator to find a purpose of a thing. So whoever has created a thing will know the purpose of that thing. And so when God is the one who's created us with the design for His purposes, we don't go to other people to find out our purpose. We go to God to find out our purpose so we don't misuse the lives that He's given us. So if you're taking notes, living for the approval of people keeps you from the purposes of God. Living for the approval of people will keep you from the purposes of God. When you're so consumed with what people think, you'll forget what God thinks. And it'll be less meaningful to you what God thinks, and it'll become more meaningful to you what people think. And so today, in a world full of people pleasers, we need to choose purpose over popularity. That's what Moses did. You remember Moses as a baby was sent down the Nile by his mother to have a better life, and he was born a Hebrew slave, but he was adopted eventually by the daughter of Pharaoh and their family, and he was raised up in royalty. He came from poverty and slavery to living in royalty and extravagance, but at some point in time, he chose a life of poverty and slavery over this life of comfort. He chose the call of God over people's popular opinion. Can you imagine that conversation with Moses said, you know, I'm going back to my people. I don't want to live this lavish lifestyle anymore. People are like, no. Well, why would you do something like that? In Hebrews chapter 11, verses 24 to 25, it says, by faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. Because he was looking ahead to his reward. So he could have given in to popular opinion, hang out with all these rich folk that are going to give you everything that you need and all you've ever wanted, but he instead chose God's calling and purpose in his life. He chose calling over comfort. He was asking the question, what is my purpose in serving God in every circumstance, in every moment of my everyday life? And if every single one of us would live asking those kinds of questions, if we would live each moment for the God's purposes in our life, one day our whole life would be devoted to following God in all that we do, and we would make a difference for the kingdom of God, just like Moses did when he answered the call. We would be blessed because in this moment, in this situation, for this person, we've recognized and decided that we were created to live out God's purposes and not people's personal opinions of our popularity. And that's what Moses did. What a great illustration and example for you and for me and how we live. And so it's important, if you're taking notes, to understand three things about the power of purpose, because there is power in purpose. Number one, purpose diminishes distractions. It just does. Purpose diminishes distractions. It's so easy to get distracted by comparison. What do they think? Well, what is she doing? What are they doing? He got the promotion. You know, she's married. I never had a chance to be married. I see on Facebook that everybody gets a chance to go to Myrtle Beach, and I haven't been there since 2011. These are hypothetical situations, by the way. These are just hypothetical. You know, it's the curse of comparison. And social media and technology, it just blows that up for us. And we just get so distracted. You know, Nehemiah, if you read the book of Nehemiah in the Old Testament, it's a great study on leadership. It's a great study on dealing with purpose and setting aside distraction. If you remember the story of Nehemiah, and I encourage you to read the book because we can't cover it all, but I'm going to give you the short of it. Nehemiah was basically upset that the walls of the holy city lie in ruin, the walls of his hometown, his city, and he had a holy discontent about it. He was so disturbed by it that he wanted to go and do something about it. By the way, if you understand your purpose and your call, one of the clues will be when you have a holy discontent about something, when you feel a nudge to do something about something. And so he felt called by God. And as a result, he rallies people to go and to start rebuilding the wall. And they go and they rebuild the wall together. And while they're rebuilding the wall and they're up on top of that wall, two guys by the name of Sanballat and Tobiah come along and start shouting insults at them. They start shouting insults to them on that wall. You know, things like, you know, that's an impossible dream. It's never going to happen. You got to stop. And if you don't stop, we're going to crush you. Their lives were threatened. You guys ever watch The Muppets? Remember The Muppets? I'm going to date myself here. But in The Muppets, Kermit the Frog, Miss Piggy, Animal. Animal's my favorite. But then you had two guys up in the balcony. And the two guys up in the balcony, they didn't use their words to uplift. They used their words to do what? Razz people, destroy them, shatter their dreams. They loved to pick on Gonzo. Remember Gonzo with the curly nose? They always gave Gonzo a hard time. What were those two guys' names? See, so most of you can name off the Muppets, but you can't name those two guys, Statler and Waldorf. Statler and Waldorf, and they would just hurl insults. They would hurl discouragement. They would tell them, you have no idea, no purpose in life. What are you doing? That's what Sanballat and Tobiah were doing to Nehemiah. And what you'll see in the book of Nehemiah is you'll see that he allowed the work to continue. He ignores the distraction of their criticism and even having their lives threatened. And he says to them, I have no time for your foolishness. I have to keep doing what God's called me to do. And as a result, the enemies, they get ticked off. And in verses 15 and 16 of Nehemiah 4, when our enemies heard that we were aware of their plot and that God had frustrated it. I love that. God frustrated it. We all returned to the wall, each to our own work. From that day on, half of my men did the work, while the other half were equipped with spears, shields, bows, and armors. So he said, listen, you can threaten us all that you want, but God has work for us to continue to do. We can't come down off this wall because we're here to fulfill God's purposes. We're doing great work. We're doing the work that we were created to do, is what he's telling Tobiah and Sanballat and Statler and Waldorf, and we can't be distracted by your opinions. You know, some of us, we need to live on these words because you're in a situation where people are telling you the opposite of what you know God's leading you to do and how he's leading you to do it. You know that you're doing something with purpose, and you need to own these words in your own personal life. And you just need in your heart to just tell yourself, I'm doing great work. I'm doing the work that God's called me to do. I'm going to remain faithful in that calling. I can't come down all off of this wall. And it's so easy to get distracted. I remember early on when I got a call to ministry when I was in college, I was told I was too young to be a minister. I was just a young whippersnapper. What did I know? And I ignored the calling, and I went and worked in the secular world as an inside sales representative. But when I finally decided to go to seminary and answer the call, I remember them saying to me, well, you don't want to leave a good sales career behind. What about all the money that you're going to get making not only a good job but a good career? And I said, I got to go do what God's calling me to do. I went to plant a church in Dayton, Ohio, and I remember people said, where are you going to get the money? Where are the finances going to come from? Where are the people going to come from? They were all distractions. There were distractions everywhere trying to pull me away from what I knew God was placing in my spirit. And I had to be in that moment where I'm saying, you know what? I'm doing good work. I'm doing what God has called me to do. I don't have time. I can't come down off that wall. Some of you are responsible for people in your workplaces. Some of you are responsible in the organizations you work for, whether you're working at a school or a hospital. Some of you are working in administrative responsibilities. And, you know, you're in a process of leading change. And you're always kind of in the process of leading something new and doing new work and helping people to new places. And people say, well, you can't do that. It's not been done that way before. And you have to say, you know what? I don't have time for that. Because, listen, this is where I'm being faithful. God has put me in this place and in this time. I'm going to be faithful in the moment to God's purposes every day, every decision, every choice for my future. Some of you are in a place where you want to, or you've been called to get out of debt. And maybe people are harassing you or making fun of you because you've decided to start brown bagging it to work for lunch rather than going out to eat every day. Or maybe you're doing a staycation rather than a vacation, or you're going to drive a junker because you don't have time for their criticism. You're going to stand on that wall and say, I want to get out of debt. Because I want to get out of debt so I can be a giver. I was talking to somebody just this past week, and they're telling all their friends about their tithe, how they tithe and how God blesses them. And people, their friends were looking at them and says, you give what? Why would you give all that money to the church? I mean, don't you need that money to live on? And they're like, you know, I don't have time to hear that. You need to hear what God's doing in my life. This is my conviction. I feel led and called to do this. I got to stand on that wall. You know, some of you know somebody or you've been in a situation before where, hey, listen, it's just so old-fashioned. Why would I save myself for marriage? I'm just gonna move in with my boyfriend, or I'm gonna just move in with my girlfriend, or whatever it might be. And no, you say, you know what, I'm gonna stand on that wall of conviction and know that God has a purpose for me, that He's gonna save me for marriage to that wonderful Christian guy someday or that wonderful Christian woman someday, and I'm not gonna move in until that day because I wanna honor God because He's called me according to His purposes to serve Him and honor Him with the body that He's given me. Some of you, you know, you're called to be a stay-at-home mom, or you're called to be a stay-at-home dad, or maybe you're even homeschooling your kids, and sometimes you'll hear, hey, listen, you could make more if you had a dual income. And you're really trying to make it work with one. And even with the homeschool thing, some people might say, well, hey, listen, you know, don't you support public schools? And those people that love you, but sometimes we just don't realize, you know, how difficult those concepts are. And you might say, you know what, I have a purpose and a calling. I'm doing this with my kids and my families. I've got great work to do. I don't have time to come down off this wall. Purpose diminishes distraction. Number two, purpose diminishes distraction. Purpose pushes you through the pain. Purpose pushes you through the pain. It's a pathway. See, a pathway to purpose is always paved with pain. It is. A pathway to purpose is always paved with pain. There is purpose in what God has given you to be able to motivate you to keep going when it hurts. It was true for Moses, it was true for Nehemiah, and it's true for you and for me. When we do what God calls us to do, our spiritual enemy is going to resist us. And often how you know you're doing the will of God and living out His purpose is when the resistance comes, you know, that the spiritual enemy uses. When pain comes, you recognize you're doing this for the blessing of serving God's purposes, not for the approval of people. You know, here's a great example of when you're living out purpose, pain is going to come. My son Austin, you know, he feels part of his purpose is a calling into the military, and he's joining the Army National Guard. Well, he has boot camp come January 3rd. And so in order to fulfill his purpose, he's going to go through 12 months of challenge and pain and struggle and trial to do what? To make him ready, to go through the fires of trials, to make him ready to fulfill his duty potentially as a soldier for the United States of America, this great country. And I'm so proud of him and the choices that he's making and his willingness to do this. But he will know and soon discover that there is pain to walk through in order to get to your purpose, because when you serve God's purpose, it's going to be costly to you. It was for Jesus. You know, for Jesus to live out his purpose, it was just a little bit painful for him. He gave everything up in order to pay the price for your sins and for mine, and your sins and mine. You know, for Nehemiah, it's the reality that the call was the only thing that was going to keep him on that wall. The call was the only thing that was going to keep him on that wall. That's what keeps me coming back every single day in ministry, in the church, and all the challenges that surround it is the call. And I share that with my colleagues, and my colleagues say, you know, there's just days, there's just challenges, there's just struggles, and there's just days where it's like, oh my gosh, how do you walk through this? And they say, it's the call. For you, it's the call. Wherever you are in your life, it's the call. The call may be the only thing to keep you on that wall. It was what kept Jesus on his call, walking that wall. It's the purpose that will push you through the pain. And when you recognize, this is what I was made to do, The critics won't stop you. When you recognize this is what you're made to do, opposition will not deter you, the pain will not slow you, and the enemy will not crush you. You say, I was called, I was created for this. And in this moment that you were made for, you realize that this is your time to remain faithful to the choice that God has given you. And so you're going to choose purpose over popularity because of the third truth, that purpose empowers you to please God. Purpose empowers you to please God. Moses met up with all sorts of opposition to the enemy, to Pharaoh, even his own people. But he kept going and he stood on that wall. Like Nehemiah and the opposition that he met, he was full of the power of God. And he says, listen, you're not going to be able to talk me out of doing this. God has called me to do this, is what he's saying. And you see this happening in Peter and John preaching Christ. And they were told to stop preaching Christ. They were imprisoned and beaten because of it. But look what they say in Acts chapter 4. Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to listen to him? As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. Look in Acts chapter 5, verse 29. The Bible says, Peter and the other apostles replied, we must obey God rather than human beings. We must obey God rather than human beings. We're so filled with the power of God that we can't stop doing what God has purposed us to do. We can't stop sharing that name, the name above all names, a name that even still irritates people today. You can mention a higher power, but you mention Jesus and people will get irritated and challenged. And so in this moment, Peter and John and the apostles, they're saying, listen, why do we listen to God rather than human beings? Because we will never be able to please people. Everybody. You will never be able to please everyone. You will try. You will try. You know, you'll be like, hey, do you like me? Why didn't you comment on that post that I put out there? That picture that I worked on social media? How come you didn't like that? That caption that I put together was perfect. How come you didn't like the earrings that I wore, the hairdo that I got? You know, I gave you a text, but you didn't respond to my text. I saw the little bubbles going at the bottom, you know, like you were reading it, but I never got a response back. And we just get so caught up. It's so sad. We live to please people, but it keeps us from the purposes of God. Until you recognize this truth, we can't please everyone, but we can please God. And I want you to look at your neighbor right now, and I want you to say the first of two things. Look at your neighbor right now and say, you know what? You can't please people right now. You can't please people. And I want you to look at your other neighbor, and I want you to say it this time like you mean it, okay? You can't please people, all right? But then you look at them and say, you know, look back now. You can please God. You can please God. Look at your other neighbor and say the same thing. How do we please God? Whenever we live by faith, whenever we live by obedience according to his purposes, in the moment when we die to self and let Christ live through us, we please God. How freeing it is to know and recognize that we might not be able to please everybody, but we can please God. We're the sum total of our choices that we make, and we can choose today purpose over popularity. Action steps. Number one, honestly evaluate the ways you try to please people. Honestly. Number two, when you have a decision to make, ask, will this fulfill my purpose? Will this fulfill my purpose? You know, we have an opportunity today to realize that it's our call that will keep us serving Jesus on the wall, because we're going to choose purpose over popularity. Amen.